WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
I'm here in Vermont at my summer cottage in New England. They call them camps. And I'm at the kitchen table of my neighbor, Joan Hughes. And several years ago, she recorded for us a program that has been very popular with all of you on Reading and Writing and Radio about her pets and the pets that she takes around to school, the animals, to various schools. And we called the program Waltzing Matilda because we featured a little ferret named Matilda. Joan tells me that she has more animal stories, that more things have happened, and so today we're going to have an update. Joan, I noticed yesterday that you were putting animals on your roof. Were you giving them a sun bath? Are you that careful?
No, we kind of had fleas in the house. So I dipped both the dogs, and then I had to bomb the house. So when I bombed the house, I had to get everything else out.
Well, how many animals do you have here that had to take to the roof?
Well, to the roof we put the chinchilla and the guinea pig, because it was easier to get them out on the roof up there than it was to cart them down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then down here I had to take the canary out and the ferret out. And the dogs, of course, were out too while we were bombing the house for 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have the fleas under control now. Everybody's back where they belong and not scratching, not so much anyway.
And the chinchilla and the guinea pig had a sun bath, unless they were in the shade.
Right. Well, I wanted to do it on a nice day, because if I did it on one of our nice windy days, I would take a chance of them getting sick.
Uh-huh.
So,
are they pretty delicate? Is a chinchilla a delicate pet?
Actually, the chinchilla feels the heat more than the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my other animals can be put in a big animal room, but the chinchilla I have to keep separate, because everything else wants it hot and humid, and he wants it cool and dry.
And how do you manage that up here in this hot weather?
Well, up here, I keep a fan up there, and if everything were the way I'd like it, I'd have an air conditioner too, but I don't. Mm-hmm. So we just put a fan on. It's never that hot up here.
Mm-hmm.
But the chin does feel the heat, because they have such a thick coat.
Yes, and very soft.
Oh, it feels almost like nothing when you touch it.
It is so wonderfully soft.
Yes.
And do you take this chinchilla into the schools?
Yes.
And do the kids get to touch the fur?
Oh, the children love it. And some of the little ones love to put their faces right down into them.
Uh-huh.
This is the second chin I had. And I have this chin, a vet called me to come and get him. It seems somebody had gotten him. People seem to go for these exotic pets, and then they don't know how to take care of them. And it's a she. She was put into the wrong kind of a cage and got her foot caught, and it had to be amputated.
Oh.
And then they didn't want her anymore.
Uh-huh.
So the vet called me and asked me if I would take her. So that's how I got this chin.
Mm-hmm.
So since two chins can't be kept in the same cage, I had to lend out my other male for breeding purposes to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm only keeping the one.
Now, you didn't bring all your animals with you, did you?
Oh, no. They all go on summer vacation. I have somebody that takes the rabbit every year. I have a lovely Jersey woolly rabbit. And the two snakes go to an outdoor education center. So they're there. And some of the wild animals I have ready for release, my wild squirrels and wild rabbits.
Mm-hmm. And you released a wild goose up here this summer.
I released the goose up here this summer.
Nursed through a broken leg.
Right. He had had a leg broken in three places last December.
Mm-hmm.
And we cast it set it and cast it. And when he was ready for therapy, I took him home. And you can't keep birds in cages. You have to keep them in cardboard boxes, or nylon clay pens are ideal,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise they'll beat up their wings on a regular cage. So something the size of a goose is kind of hard to contain in the house. And we bought 2 kiddie pools for him to give him therapy, to keep him swimming, to encourage him to use the bad leg.
Mm-hmm.
So when we brought him up here in June, he was ready for release. He was self-feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And his leg is as healed as it will ever be. He's going to be lame the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another reason why I wanted him up here, because he would be the low man on the totem pole in with a flock. Mm-hmm. And we have lots of flocks on Long Island. But they would probably peck him to death.
Mm.
So, and he was young. He wasn't yet 2 years old. So I figured up here on the lake, he would be kind of alone, but yet in a natural element, so that when he felt able to be with others, he could join a flock. But right now, he's not able. He's not really up to fighting off other birds.
Now, did you get this bird by someone calling and saying, we have a bird with a broken leg, and knowing that you can take care of it, or do you just stumble on these animals?
No, I'm a licensed rehabilitator, and the police call me. Our lists go out in New York 2 or 3 times a year. We get a list of all the rehabbers. And my license is also a federal bird license for rehabbing, so the police departments have them, and the nature centers have them, and anyone that would be apt to, some of the big companies have them, and we get calls all the time. I get several a day for different animals. I picked up turkeys, wild turkeys on Long Island, which is pretty unusual,
mm-hmm.
and I had another goose in the winter that had had a gunshot wound to its head, and geese mate for life. So when I picked him up, his mate was there. But she let me pick him up. She let me take him. And in about 3 weeks, when he was ready for release again, fortunately he was ready for release, I brought him back to right where I picked him up. And sure enough, she was right there. And when I let him out, the two of them went off together to the nearest puddle. It was the cutest thing.
Oh, that's a happy story.
Yes. And I hope this little guy, he was not old enough to have made it yet, so I hope he has a happy life, too.
Yeah.
But people are so careless in parking lots and things. We get a lot of calls for gulls and geese in the parking lots that have been hit.
Hmm.
Did I ever tell you the story about my snakes getting loose?
I don't think so.
Well, I have the 2 snakes. I have a corn snake, corny, and a large boa. The corn snake is maybe 3-4 feet long, and the boa is about 12 feet long.
Well, those are both good sized snakes in my estimation.
I always consider the corn snake my little snake, but my grandchildren love them. My husband is not very happy about them being in the house.
You keep them in the bathtub, maybe?
And no, they're in the animal room in their own cages.
Uh-huh.
Each in his own, although I could put those 2 together, and I carry them together in the same case when you go to
the schools. And
mm. But because they have to be in insulated cases to take them out. But it was Thanksgiving week, and the whole family was there, and of course the children right away wanted to go up to the animal room. And after dinner they went back up, and one of the little ones comes down and says, Grandma, I can't find Corny. And I said, well, I'll go up and see what the problem is. And sure enough, Corny wasn't in his cage anymore. Somebody evidently had left the top ajar.
Uh-huh.
And he had gotten out when they had had him out earlier. So, I pulled everything off the shelves and everything out of the closets and hunted and could not find Corny anyplace.
Could he have gotten out of the animal room, do you think?
Well,
or didn't you?
Conceivably he could have, through the pipes. There's a little lavatory in there, and he could have gotten through the pipes, conceivably, which would have been bad, because then he'd have been in the walls. So I called up my son-in-law, Alan, and Alan and I went on a hunt. Kids are at the door, banging on the door, can we come in, can we come in? And of course we wouldn't let them in. So we each had a, we were each hunting around, and as we were pulling things out, one of the rat cages fell, and I now had six rats running around, as well as a loose snake that I couldn't find. So we decided we better catch the rats first. And he had a broom or something, and I was running around with something else, trying to get the, probably a towel, trying to get the rats. And we were pulling things out and moving them around, and of course every time you'd get near a rat, it would scurry to the other side. So while we were doing this, my son-in-law stepped into one of the water dishes that was on the floor. So now we have about 6 inches of water on the floor, the rats running around, and the snake mist. And things are getting worse by the minute. Finally, we did get the rats, and then we started to mop up the water. Well, to do this, I had to pull the cage that was on the floor out. And in doing that, it is like half of a kiddie pool that we keep against the wall for one of the tortoises. Well, when we pulled this out, in the middle there's a little depression up, and the
A kiddie pool is like a wading pool for kids,
right.
And there's that little
one of those little plastic pools,
and it's got a little raised area in the middle.
Right.
Okay, I've noticed that in those kiddie pools.
Yeah.
Okay,
well the tortoise also has a hot rock in there that he can get on to regulate his temperature.
Now wait, before we get that, let's pause there for a minute. Is this a rock that you can plug in?
Yes. Yes. It's
like a heating pad rock?
Exactly. That's just what it is. And the turtles and tortoises, when it gets cool, like to get up on it, and it's like heated like if the sun had heated a rock. So.
Well, how thoughtful.
Yes. So, it was warm in under this little depression, and there was the snake. All curled up in this little depression under the pool, under the hot rock, as hot, as warm and comfy as could be.
Well, this is what snakes like to do.
Yes, it is.
In the desert and all, you'll find them. Of course, there they're usually keeping a bit cool.
Yes.
In the tremendous desert heat.
But
they go under a rock.
Right. But right here in Vermont, along the lakeshore, you'll see them out. I've seen the snakes out on the rocks, basking in the sun.
Oh.
So they do like to bask. Well, being cold-blooded, they can't regulate their heat.
Yeah.
So this helps them to keep warm or cool, as the case may be.
Turtles, though, are warm-blooded, aren't they?
No.
They're not either?
No. Turtles are reptiles, too, so turtles are cold-blooded, too.
So that they...
So that's why they need the extra heat, too.
And they like to bask in the sun, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. The water turtles, you remember my painted turtle that I had. Well, you have to keep something that they can get up on to get out of the water, and also they have to have a submersible heater in their tank, so that their water is kept around between about 65 to 70 degrees. And then you keep a light on them, so they'll come out and get in the light. So all winter I keep the light on.
And of course, the way they manage the wild ones here, they go into the banks, don't they, and bury themselves so that they don't...
Yes, and they're in under the mud. But then they don't eat all winter. They really hibernate. But when I have to keep mine active, because I'm going to be taking them in and out, and if I let them hibernate, I couldn't use them at all, because you can't disturb them then.
Well, now some of our kids are new listeners and won't have heard the earlier tape, so I think maybe you listeners have gathered by now that Joan takes these animals into schools for science days, don't you?
I take them into schools. I do lots of different science programs in the schools, but the little children love the animals. Big children do too. But the teachers always have me do something else for the bigger ones. And then I get the long faces in the hall. Why didn't you bring the animals to us? I bring about a dozen small animals to a school when I go. All of them are handleable. As you know, all my animals, you can pick them up and cuddle them, and they're used to being handled so that I don't have to worry about them biting anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But little Matilda, my first ferret, died. She was about 7 years old.
Is that a good age for a ferret?
Usually 7 to 9 years is about. Seven is a pretty good age. Then I replaced her with my little sick ferret that I had last year. I don't remember, know whether you remember.
Oh yeah, there was one that was ailing.
Right, she had a tumor on her pancreas, and that was came from a vet too, because she needed a lot of care. And I kept her alive for a couple of years with medication every 4 hours, round the clock.
Good grief. That's devotion.
And it's a tiny pill to start with, and I had to break it into eighths, and she got an eighth of a pill twice a day on the pills, and something called NutriCal, which is a high calorie supplement. Food supplement. We were trying to build her up.
Mm-hmm.
But she lost all her fur. And then last December, she really could hardly move at all. And I went in one morning and she was in her litter box, because ferrets are very clean that way. And she couldn't get out. She couldn't even lift her head.
Mm.
And I thought, well, I really wasn't being fair to her. She was as sweet as she could be, the sweetest little baby. But she just, it wasn't being fair to her to keep her alive any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to say goodbye to her. Her name was Cosmo. And I have another one with me this year that I had gotten, before Cosmo died, a long time before Cosmo died. As a matter of fact, it's a little male. And there again, your exotic pets that people take and don't like after they get them. Ferrets have anal scent glands like a skunk and do have an odor.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the males. And this little guy I have now, we're calling him Grover because I got him in the Grove Street School. He was left in the schoolyard.
Somebody just dumped him there,
figuring the
school would take care of him.
And it was about a week before I came. So the fourth grade teacher said, oh please, take him. So that's how I happen to have Grover.
Uh-huh.
So that's.
And Grover is just right over there in the cage. You people listening can't see it, but Joan is looking over toward Grover, the little ferret that's
over in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
And he too has a nice disposition. Ferrets don't usually. And we're almost 20 minutes.
Well, let's just talk on, and I can cut this down because I'm finding it interesting, and I think the kids will too.
Okay. Well, for any of you children who think that a ferret would be an interesting pet, they are indeed an interesting pet. They're very inquisitive, and they love to scoot under things and around things, but they can very seldom be trusted. They are related to things like mink and weasels, and really do not like to be domesticated animals. And they love by nipping.
Mm-hmm.
So, and very, very sharp teeth. So you can really, even by a loving ferret, be hurt enough to draw blood and to have your parents unhappy anyway if you're not. So they really are not good pets. They eat cat food and they use litter boxes. So that is not a problem. But their temperament is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, little Cosmo, I don't think she had a nasty bone in her body. Poor little thing, she was so sweet. And this guy that seems very nice too. But even so, I watch him with the children. Mm-hmm.
Because he might nip when they handle him.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just watch his head. And they're very quick. But not ideal pets.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best pet is a guinea pig. And they too like to nip, but they don't really hurt when they do it. That's one of their ways of loving too. But guinea pigs are easily contained. They're a good size. They're big enough for a child to handle and hold. They get to know their people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go upstairs now, this one is going to start talking to me. They kind of squeak a little bit.
Oh yeah, I love a guinea pig squeak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for people who can't have dogs and cats, I think a guinea pig is an idea.
Are they less allergic when you say can't have? Is this because they can be more contained?
Right. Parents don't want to have to bother about walking an animal or cleaning up after an animal. And a guinea pig is happy to stay in a small box mm-hmm. or a small cage. And it's easy to get their bedding. I keep mine on pine shavings, but cedar shavings, if I was keeping them as pets, I would probably use cedar shavings, because the pine doesn't mask the odor the way cedar does. But I change mine every other day.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure they get changed regularly, because a clean animal is a healthy animal.
Mm-hmm.
Animals don't do well if they're not kept clean. It's important.
You must really love animals, Joan, to go to all the trouble that you do for them.
I've had animals all my life, and I've always loved them. Yes, I love them all. Love children, people too, though. I'm not one of those people who said I'd rather have an animal than a person.
Well, what you do is you mediate animals to people.
Yes.
That you take the animals in and help the children to understand them and learn from them and care for them.
That's right.
And be considerate and compassionate.
I often take them to hospitals, to children's wards, and I often take them to geriatric homes.
Mm-hmm.
The old people love them. And seem to feel, they claim they feel better after they've held an animal for a while. So I take them there too.
Well, our time is running, and maybe this is a good place to stop, although we could go on and on. For your writing, kids, you may not have exotic pets like tortoises and ferrets and chinchillas and things like that, but you have your own pets, and you have your own pet stories. And so what I'd love to read, those pet stories that you wrote in for Joan's last tape, the Waltzing Matilda one, were always fascinating. So for your writing for this week, tell us your animal stories and how you care about your pets and any funny stories or the sad stories too. We'll take the little Cosmo stories as well as the goose who got her husband back.
Yes. That was an interesting. That made me happy.
Yes.
When I could see her going back or see them off. I love it when the wild animals are released and they either go flying away or running away. And I always feel that I've, you know, done my job. I get a lot of baby animals in the spring. And I don't know, you know, so many people think they are going to save the little babies that they find. And usually the parents are around and will take care of them. Squirrels, you can pick up a squirrel and put it back in its nest, or just leave it there and the parents will take care of it on the ground if it's fallen out. Rabbits will not come back if the nest has been disturbed. The mother rabbit won't come back.
Mm-hmm.
But she normally stays away 8 to 12 hours at a time, leaving the babies alone, because the mother rabbits carry a scent that the babies don't have that attracts predators.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother will go off and leave the babies alone and just come back to feed them. So if you ever find baby rabbits in a nest, leave them. Don't touch the nest, don't touch the rabbits, just leave them and go away. Baby birds can be put back in the nest or just put to the side, and the parents will take care of them on the ground if they can't get them back to the nest.
Well, that's good to know, because
yes, it's, don't I've been save guilty. These babies, because usually the parents are there and they make much better mothers than we can.
Well, Joan, thank you. And how about next summer a date for another update?
Okay.
On what's going on with you and your animals.
Good.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.